Have you ever wondered why the dentist puts a blue light in your mouth? Well, they're looking for oral cancer. Welcome to Teeth Talk. Dr. Charles Ashley Mann from Charles Ashley Mann Family and Cosmetic Dentistry is along with me. So I've been in the chair and you're poking around, so you're looking for oral cancer.
Well, first of all, happy Easter to everybody. Yes. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize when they come in for their exam that we are not just looking at their teeth. We look also at the soft tissue. And one of the things that we do is we inspect for any abnormal lesions that we see in the mouth. Visually, if we see those, then we have to take a further look. You know, like you said, this April is Oral Cancer Awareness Month. And the reason why it's so important is, you know, oral cancer is on the rise, like other cancers, but it is had an increase over the past 20 years, the number of people diagnosed. And the disturbing thing is most of the increase is in the younger ages from 30 to 50. Before that, we usually saw it in the older ages, 50 plus, but we're getting a lot more younger people presenting with oral cancer. And that's why we have to do such a good job with screening, because the earlier you catch oral cancer, the better the diagnosis and the outcome.
I know that sometimes people get sores and things like that. How do they differentiate between that and what is really oral cancer? Are there any signs?
Well, you know, a lot of times oral cancer has no pain whatsoever. It could just be a non-painful lesion. Usually, when it starts becoming painful, it's in a later stage, or you see a really large growth. Usually the painful things that we get in our mouth are usually aphthous ulcers, which are very, very common and are easy to treat. They may last for about 10 days, but they go away. If you're looking at a lesion or a sore in your mouth and it doesn't go away within 2 weeks, then that's probably a problem. You want to see a dentist to make sure that is not something other than a viral aphthous, what we call aphthous ulcer, which is created by viral. A lot of people get aphthous ulcers who eat a lot of citrus. Or they might change up their toothpaste and it could create lesions in their mouth. But for the most part, oral cancer starts out as a non-painful lesion.
Where in the mouth are you more likely to see signs of this?
That's a good question. The most common place that we see oral cancer start is on the side of or the bottom of the tongue. Now, can it start other areas of the mouth? Yes. We see it, you know, anywhere soft tissue wise in the mouth, it can occur. So, but I would say the number one place that we find it is on the side of the tongue. And that's why, you know, it can be very debilitating, because, you know, squamous cell carcinoma, which is the majority of the type of oral cancer that we see, you know, if you're taking part of the tongue out, it can be very hard on a patient to talk, eat, things like that. They have to retrain themselves. The deeper and more aggressive the squamous cell, the more disfiguring it can become.
Can oral cancer be hereditary if my mom or dad had it? Does it make me more likely?
No, there has not been any studies to show that there is a genetic link to oral cancer. I'm sure there could be, just like a lot of cancers. We're finding out there is a genetic link. Most of the things that we see with oral cancer is due to an increase of tobacco use, smoking, alcohol use. And then also, you know, I mentioned earlier, the younger ages are starting. We're starting to see it due to the human papillomavirus. They can determine whether squamous cell is caused by the human papillomavirus. So an increase in the human papillomavirus has caused an increase, I believe, in the younger age group for oral cancer. Tobacco has always been a really high percentage increase of oral cancer. Chewing tobacco especially, you know, it's up there. But any tobacco use, whether it's cigarettes or cigars or pipes or whatever.
Let's talk about the link between oral cancer and throat cancer. Are they related?
Well, basically, oral cancer and throat cancer are kind of combined into the same one. when it's diagnosed, if you have throat cancer, it's considered oral cancer. I would say that depending on your lifestyle, like what you, for instance, if you're a dipper and you put the tobacco in between your cheek and gums, then you have a higher incidence of that's where the squamous cell is going to start. Really, the squamous cell carcinoma is very invasive. So yes, it can spread down through the throat, usually gets into your lymph nodes because there's quite a few lymph nodes in your oral area. So yes, it's a very deadly cancer when you take into account all the cancers together, especially in the late stage that are to treat. It does take chemo, radiation, things like which has their side effects. But yes, it can spread pretty quickly because the cells in our mouth divide so quickly. As you can imagine, cell turnover has to be pretty great in the mouth because we chew.
We're talking about oral cancer this week on Teeth Talk. If you have further questions, you can contact one of Charles Ashley Band's family and cosmetic dentistry offices in Cary Garner or Fuquay Varina. The number to call there, 919-462-9338. Of course, you can always go to smileman.com. That's smile, MANN.com. More Teeth Talk coming up on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF News Talk Traffic. We're back on Teeth Talk. Our discussion about oral cancer continues. We're seeing it on the rise. Let's talk about the reasons for this uptick.
Well, like I said earlier, human papillomavirus is a high risk for the oral cancer. But the good news is, we can start to get the human papilloma vaccine now. They're starting that with younger children, including not just females, but males as well. So I think hopefully with the increase in the number of human papillomavirus vaccines, we will see that oral cancer decrease in the younger generations since it's been increasing over the past 20 years in that 30 to 50 range. But the other things that or worrisome is, there's a lot of things that haven't been tested. Vape, for instance, there's not been a lot of studies on how vaping will affect the throat. We know it creates popcorn lung. We don't know the side effects if it is going to increase the risk for oral cancer. Same with these pouches. A lot of people started using the energy pouches that have caffeine and nicotine without tobacco. Remember, even the skull and the dip that people use has really fine particles that cut your gum. And the reason for that, it's almost like fiberglass. It puts these pinpoint cuts in the gum so that the nicotine can get to your system quicker into the bloodstream and create that high feeling, the feeling of energy that you get. I don't know if those pouches have them or don't have them. More than likely, they have to have them in order to get the product into your bloodstream. So, cutting your gum over and over like that it creates scarring, which will increase your risk for cancer. So just because we don't have studies on them doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a risk. We just don't know how much of a risk it is with this new product on the market.
Yeah, you said that there's no pain, but usually underneath the tongue. Does it look different in the early stages versus the latter stages?
Yeah, I always tell people if you see like a white reddish lesion on your tongue or anywhere in your mouth and it lasts longer than 2 weeks, then you want to come see a dentist. And the reason for that, we use a diagnostic blue light in my office, and we can actually determine if something is precancerous or in the cancerous state with that light. And a lot of times, we can cut our tongue or cut our gum or burn it with hot foods, and it will present, with red, whitish lesions that could scare someone. But we do this once a year in all of our patients just to make sure, because like I said earlier in the show, the earlier you catch squamous cell carcinoma and treat it, the better the outcome. And this blue light allows us to basically check the whole mouth And if there's even cancer or precancer cells, it'll show up so that we can take a further look, whether we need to do a biopsy or bring the patient back 2 weeks later to take and see if it's still present.
If you see something suspicious, what happens next?
Usually we send the patient to an oral surgeon, and an oral surgeon will do the biopsy. And then determining the biopsy, then they have to stage it to see which stages it is in, 1, 2, 3, or 4. It stays the same as most cancers, depending on how deep into the tissue it goes. And then also if it's spread to other areas. Once it spreads to other areas, we call that metastasis. Once it metastasizes to other areas, then, you know, it's in the stage 3 to 4 range, which makes it harder to treat. You tend to have to use chemotherapy and radiation to try to kill the squamous cell carcinomas. Once you're diagnosed with it, then you would be passed to someone who specializes, an oncologist who specializes in oral cancer.
Post-surgery, does this affect your ability to speak and eat normally?
It depends on how bad the cancer is. You know, as I said earlier, it can be very disfiguring if it's caught later stages. I mean, you really have to cut a lot of the bone and a lot of the soft tissue away. You know, it starts soft tissue, but it can spread to your bone, as all cancers can. So if it's in the later stages, it's in the bone, then a lot of disfigurement can occur because the jaw has to be cut out and reconstruction has to be done. So it would, you know, a really bad case can set the patient back as far as being able to eat what they want to eat and being able to tolerate things like that. They usually have to eat a soft diet for quite some time. If it's caught early in the stage one, usually the area basically is just the squamous cell is removed, and they basically remove it, and then they look at the soft tissue around the lesion to make sure there's no cancer cells using dye, and they use a microscope, and they keep removing tissue until they think that they have all clean margins is basically the term used. And if it's not in the stage 3 or 4, a lot of times the patient would just be on a 6-month recall to evaluate that area to make sure it hasn't returned.
But you say there's a pretty good success rate if caught early, right? Did you say?
Yes, very good success rate if it's caught early. And that's why it's so important to get the oral cancer screening once a year, not just visually, but the blue light is really a good diagnostic tool, especially if you're high risk. If you're at high risk and you're a tobacco, alcohol user, use, you know, the pouches, you're vaping, all those things are high risk. You definitely want to make sure you're getting that diagnostic oral cancer screening with the blue light once a year.
We're learning about oral cancer, and we have one more segment coming up with Dr. Mann. Oral cancer is caught in an exam, so if you're in need of one, particularly if you're a smoker, contact one of Dr. Mann's offices in Cary, Garner, or Fuquay, Verena. The number is 919-462-9338, or go to smileman.com. That's smileman.com. This is Teeth Talk on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Thanks for joining us on Teeth Talk, heard every Sunday at 4:30 on WPTF. And our show is available on demand at WPTF.com. Also available wherever you get your podcasts. If you miss any portion of the show, you want to share it with someone. It's Oral Cancer Awareness Month, and we're talking about oral cancer. You mentioned that people that are prone to cold sores sometimes worry if this is the start of oral cancer. Is there any connection?
Well, you know, basically, the cold sores are a virus, it's in the human papillomavirus family. But there has been no link between cold sores and oral cancer. That virus lives in your nerve, and it comes out at the most inopportune times for most people. But usually, exposure to sun, exposure to wind, any kind of stress can cause people that have that virus in their nerve. It pops out and causes some about 10, 12 days, some pretty painful experience. It's usually on the outside of the lips, but we also see it sometimes on the inside. And it's really related to the herpes virus. And that is probably about 99% of all people have been exposed to it. That's how contagious it is. Some people it pops out on, and some people it doesn't. But there has been no link between an increased risk for cancer and the herpes virus.
What about cold sores? Are they likely to reoccur?
Reoccurrence is pretty high with those who have cold sores. One of the things that we do in our office is if the patient starts getting that tingling sensation right before they pop out, if they come into our office and we actually laser it with our laser, it doesn't come out. It actually, I guess, it retreats back into the nerve. There's also some studies show that if you come in enough when that happens, that it goes away completely if it's treated with the laser. I haven't had too many patients that it's cured all the way, but I've had quite a few that get them often, and they've come in and it's decreased the amount that they're getting using the laser. So it is a very effective treatment, and it's you know, it's painful for a lot of people. It can be somewhat limiting on what they can eat. Also, the weeping basically it's called the prodromal stage, but it starts weeping and crusting over, and it gets very sore. So it's one of those things that we try to help patients alleviate. You can also take a cyclovir, which is a an antiviral, because it is a virus, and that tends to help it reduce it from like 10 days to 5 or 6 days healing rate. You also can increase your lysine intake, L-Y-S-I-N. There's studies that show that decreases the amount of outbreaks of cold sores.
And oral cancer, does it have a high rate of reoccurrence itself?
Yeah, it is. Once you get it, it is very highly probable that it can come back, especially if you know, continue to use tobacco products, increase alcohol use. Human papillomavirus, also plays a big part. So it definitely is something that we have to keep an eye on once someone has been diagnosed with it.
So really, to keep yourself at a low risk, lifestyle changes really are needed.
Yeah, especially if you're a smoker or you're using any kind of and when we say alcohol use, you know, that's one reason why I prefer to tell my patients not to use mouth rinses with alcohol. I tend to tell patients, hey, if you can get used to a non-alcoholic rinse, there's a lot of great ones out there. They're antibacterial and more natural. But decreasing the amount of alcohol intake, smoking, cigars, all those things can increase your risk. And if you're a parent out there, I would highly recommend the human papilloma vaccine for both males and females, because it will long-term help decrease a lot of things. And there's other diseases that we're not even sure the human papillomavirus doesn't create. They're still doing studies on the effects, because there's so many different types of human papillomavirus.
Well, it's just another reason why you should have frequent dental exams, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, if you haven't been to the dentist in a long time and you think your teeth are healthy, you could possibly have oral cancer, especially if you're at a high risk, and not know it, because a lot of people don't even know they have it until the late stage. So we, you know, not only do you have other diseases like periodontal disease, decay, the most debilitating of them all would be oral cancer if you get it, because it's, like I said, it's very aggressive treatment in the later stages.
Can you suggest a website to go to get more information on oral cancer?
With oral cancer, there is several. There is oralcancer.com, and they can actually go to our website, smileman.com. We have a little info on oral cancer, but I don't know if there's a specific one that's going to tell you everything that you want to know, but oralcancer.com is a good one.
What do we have on tap next week?
We're going to have questions from our listeners again. We have quite a few, so we got to answer them.
That wraps up Teeth Talk for this week. Charles Ashley Mann Family and Cosmetic Dentistry have three offices, Cary, Garner, and Fuquay, Verena. Call 919-462-9338 for an appointment. You can also go to smileman.com. That's smileman.com. Thank you for listening. For Dr. Charles Ashley Mann, I'm Mike Slaman, and you have been listening to Teeth Talk on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Keep smiling.